Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you exercise enough? Do you exercise at all? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is May 14th, 2013. We're on day two of our fitness article, Weight Loss Out, Fitness In. You can find it on pages 24 and 25 in your Advanced magazine. And I asked at the top of the program, not only if you exercise enough, but if you even exercise at all. And I actually experience the second portion of this question, not necessarily in myself, but with some of my friends and family and people that I come in contact with here in Asia, but also back in America. And the excuse I normally get, and this is from my peers who are still working in the business world, and whether it's here in Asia or in America, is that I'm too busy. They're just too busy. They're working, and they are. They're busy with their work, and they're working hard at the office because they are trying to make money so they can pay bills and buy things. But unfortunately, what they do is they trade off all of their time for this, and they don't spend enough time getting exercise. And so then we have to realize, all right, well, what's the price of all of this? Longevity. And that's one of the words we talked about yesterday. Right, Lois?
That's right, Bill. And when you say what you have just said for our program today, it just makes me also think of how many women I hear today in their 30s telling me they don't have time to exercise. And I think that should be almost at the top of your list.
Yeah. Yeah. It is surprising how many people just don't have the time. Actually, we all have the time. We just don't make the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. For it. So it's you make the time for the things that are the priorities in your life. So hopefully fitness will be one for all of our listeners after reading this article and listening to the programs. We've got our three nursing students back in the studio today. Glad to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have Marlena, Kristen, and Kylie back here today. And let me just get a thought from each one of them regarding this topic. Before the program, we were talking about a couple things, and one, Marlena, you had mentioned that you have seen a lot of young children with some weight issues, right?
Yes, I have. We have spent time in pediatric hospitals in the United States, and there are several children in America who suffer with weight problems.
Would you say too much or too little?
Too much weight. There are cases with too little, but the majority of the patients I see are too heavy.
Why?
I think there's a lot of reasons. One of the words we talked about yesterday was a sedentary lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I think with the advanced technology that we have, video games, television, a lot of kids are substituting physical activity mm-hmm. for games where they're sitting down and not getting up and moving around enough.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking like when I was young, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years old, we were outside all day. I was riding a bicycle, playing baseball or football out in the street, running through the woods, climbing trees. And whereas today, there's too much with the gadgets and the devices and sitting and playing games on PCs and things, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So in that lifestyle, one, it affects children, can create the sedentary lifestyle and obesity. And actually, and it sets a pattern for the rest of life.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen's here. And Kristen, you've struggled with some of this thing, this stuff. You've gone to extremes, haven't you?
I don't know that I would say extremes, but I've definitely struggled with focusing on my weight, the number, as opposed to how I feel physically, having enough energy, just feeling good about myself. So I've struggled with yo-yo diets and trying to exercise, but then when I don't get immediate responses or immediate results, I just kind of give up.
Yo-yo diets.
Yo-yo diets. So, you know, spending a month eating healthy and or not even a month, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, trying to eat healthy or stick with the popular diet at the time and then not seeing results or getting tired of it and going back to my unhealthy diet.
Okay. And the yo-yo being where the weight goes up and down. Yeah, which is even worse than not changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And Kylie is here. Kylie, how much does insecurity have to do with all of this?
I think insecurity plays a big role in weight loss on both extremes. I think everyone actually, not even in extremes, struggles with insecurity. And mm-hmm. I think on the end of obesity, you might not want to go to the gym because you see all these people that are fit and you feel awkward. You feel like you stand out. And mm-hmm. then also people might feel insecure about themselves, and that's why they're losing so much weight, because of their own insecurity.
You know, I especially see it here. In Asia, where there is such an emphasis on being thin, and young ladies are just bombarded with advertisements, print ads, commercials, internet stuff, where it's almost unrealistic the body type of what they are being subjected to as far as, okay, this is the ideal. And also in America, it's the same way. You three are all in this demographic, I would say, that are impacted by this advertising, this media onslaught of what the, quote, ideal female body type would be. What is your reaction to all of that?
There are a lot of ads and TV shows and actresses that we see every day that are considered beautiful, mm-hmm. As people would say, and that are very thin. And I think that it puts a lot of pressure on girls our age and younger to live up to that and to be that thin, because it is what society would classify as being beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me really upset to see those things, because personally I've struggled with those. And then also I deal with a lot of high school age girls, and mm-hmm. I see it with them as well, because it does give women such a hard time with their insecurity, because we see those images and we feel the need that we need to live up to that. And it's unrealistic. And mm-hmm. everyone's body is different. And we need to focus more on being fit and being healthy than on trying to look like a certain person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good words for a large part of our audience. And I hope people are happy with who they are. Don't try to be something you are not. Don't necessarily be fooled by what the advertising and the media says is attractive, because it's really not a healthy situation. And it's very temporary. So just be who you are. Focus more on the exercise and not the weight loss. And that's what we're talking about in this article. So let's get on with today's reading. Turn to page 25, and our first section will be that left column.
A little effort, big results. The levels of physical activity that yielded such benefits were modest. The authors of the study observed an uptick in lifespan, even among those whose physical activity fell short of what's recommended by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the World Health Organization. Dr. Francisco Lopez Jimenez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist who was not involved in the research, called the study very conclusive and said its enormous scale, it culls data from six major study populations, totaling more than 632,000 people, bolstered the strength of its findings. We have to set priorities with patients, Lopez Jimenez said. First and foremost is to get sedentary, obese people to become as active as they can, and not to use their weight as a measure of their success. Sometimes we tend to focus too much on the weight issue and too little on the exercise part of it.
Okay, yesterday we were talking about exercise, getting off the couch, quit being a couch potato, and try and get some exercise. We talked about moderate or modest levels of exercise, vigorous levels of exercise, stepping up the intensity. So we do continue with that theme today, talking about a little effort, big results. And how do we start, Lois?
We start with the levels of physical activity that yielded such benefits were modest, which is quite surprising to me. So you're already seeing benefits, Bill.
Okay, so we're saying, you know, as far as getting benefits, we're talking about modest levels of exercise, right?
Right.
We're not talking running a marathon.
No, I'm thinking, you know, like we said before, let's get out with that stroll first.
That's right.
Almost like we're starting little baby steps and we're going to increase it and it's going to get better.
Well, even a half hour walk at night when you come home, not only is it physically, you know, a great thing for us, but also it's mentally and emotionally a great thing because it will help calm you down and give you a chance to just kind of unwind from the day. Now, What did the authors of the study observe, Marlena?
They observed an uptick, which is an increase in lifespan, even among those who are physically active, fell short of what's recommended by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the World Health Organization.
All right. So this here, what they observe, an uptick in lifespan, they, you know, their physical activity, what we're talking about here, when we say it fell short of what's recommended. What does this sentence mean?
It means that although they did fall short of what the standards are, they did still have benefits.
Okay, so the government has come out with recommendations, but even if people don't meet those recommendations, if they do something, they still will gain an uptick in lifespan or an increase in lifespan. So even if you do something is better than nothing, right, Lois?
Exactly. Take the stairs instead of the elevator, Bill, and get off a bus stop early and walk home.
Stand on the bus.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting on the bus. I would recommend that for everybody to stand wherever you can. Don't always be looking for a seat. Just standing can burn calories, right? Yeah. So simple little things that we can do. You mentioned taking the stairs. That we have. There was always a rule, you know, in the offices I worked in America, one up, two down. So, and that meant as far as don't take the elevator if you're only going up one floor or if you're going down two floors. So that's just always just take the stairs. That's a minimum. You can do more.
That's right.
You are allowed to do more. All right. Now, who do we hear from in the next paragraph, Kristen?
We hear from Dr. Francisco Lopez Jimenez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist or heart doctor.
Okay. All right. So he's a heart doctor at the Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota, very famous medical facility in America. And what did he think about the study?
Well, although he wasn't involved in the actual research, he did say that the study had very conclusive results based on the enormous scale.
Okay. All right. And so when we say very conclusive, what do we mean very conclusive?
He's saying that the results that they got did show something and that it was enough to conclude or make an assumption based on the results that they got.
Okay. All right. So there's little doubt about the results of this. That's what he's saying. There's no doubt. Hey, look. And it was because of its enormous scale. And what do we mean enormous scale?
Bill, we mean how many people were used in this study. So obviously it was a lot of people.
How many, Kylie?
632,000 people.
All right. This study culls data. What do we mean culls data?
Bill, we mean it's collecting data.
Okay.
And it's obviously collecting it from six major study populations.
All right. When it's six major study populations. And these would be, again, I'll use the word demographics and different age groups, ethnicities, male, female, things like that. So they're going to break it down into six different groups. And it bolstered the strength of its findings. What does that mean when something is bolstered?
It means to support or raise the strength of the findings.
Okay. And Dr. Lopez Jimenez has a quote here right in the beginning of the next paragraph, Callie.
Yes, it says, "We have to set priorities with patients."
Okay. And then he continues.
He continues to say, first and foremost is to get sedentary obese people to become as active as they can and not to use their weight as a measure of their success. I'm going to stop right there and go back to one of the first words in this quote, foremost. Foremost is a word that is used to say it's the most important. It's at the top of the list.
Okay. All right. And there's two key points in here. Sedentary people to become active and not use their weight as a measure. So quit looking at that number and deciding if you are a failure or a success. Dr. Jimenez-Lopez. Jimenez continues, Callie.
He continues to say, sometimes we tend to focus too much on the weight issue and too little on the exercise part of it.
Have you experienced that? Not only with your, first off, with yourselves. Have you experienced it?
Yes.
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 The number. What about with friends?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely with family members, people that I know. I know a woman who desperately wants to lose weight. Mm-hmm. She's very heavy, but she's so focused on the number, she can't get started. She can't.
Hmm.
And she needs to see this article, Bill, so hopefully yeah. she'll buy this magazine.
Well, you got to tell her about it. You make sure you tell her about it.
I will.
So, you know, I got to tell you something funny because when I go to the gym here, and I go, I don't know, maybe 3 times a week or so, there's a scale where the guys weigh themselves in the locker room. And it is just, it's kind of funny. It's this weird thing. It's this thing I look at. And it's a stream of guys, even the men are walking over to this scale, and everybody's getting on this scale, and they're looking at this number. And often I will actually look at this whole process, and I'm even thinking, why are you doing this? I don't even know what the importance of this is. I don't even know why it matters. Why would it matter if you're up or down a 1 or 2 kilos from the last time you were here? The fact that this just being active and keeping involved, and even men are obsessed with this number sometimes, and it does get in the way. So, okay, let's do this. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Let's have our feature. Well, hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
Oh, Dr. Gray, I'm really worried about my weight. All I do is sit at a computer all day, and I just can't seem to get rid of these extra pounds I gained since having my kids.
I don't know, Nancy. Your body mass index seems okay, and I don't notice any extra weight. What have you tried so far?
Every diet imaginable! The no-fat diet, the high-protein diet, the low-carb diet. Nothing seems to work. I looked in the mirror last night and got depressed.
That may have been a wake-up call for you, Nancy. But I must tell you, I think you're trying the wrong things. Those extreme diets actually can have a corrosive effect on your health.
But I don't know what else to do.
Do you get much exercise? Do you ever break a sweat?
To be honest, I'm just a couch potato at night.
See, your inactivity may trump any extreme diet that you try. Without exercise, your body is not burning enough calories.
But I've never been interested in doing much exercise, Dr. Gray. It seems like it would take too much time.
The time you invest in exercise may increase your longevity, Nancy. You want to be around a long time to enjoy your kids, right?
Yes, I do.
I recommend that you go for a walk immediately after dinner. Just start at 30 minutes a day and see how that feels. I think you'll like it, and you'll definitely feel better.
Okay, Dr. Gray, I'll try that.
And you quit being so hard on yourself. You look great.
Thanks, Dr. Gray.
Dr. Gray, he cares for his patients, doesn't he there,
Maybe
Nancy?
Maybe a little too much.
What's your goodness gracious, Nancy. Yeah, well, you know, anyways, let's get on with, we've got a couple little sidebars there on page 25 on the left column, the bottom of the left column, alarming statistics and a change in focus. So let me have Kylie, you read the first one, okay?
Okay. Among the study participants over the age of 40, the sedentary were almost twice as likely to die during the course of the study than were the participants who were highly active.
Wow. Okay, so now let's look at that number. We had 632,000 people that participated in this study, and the ones that were twice as likely to die were the ones who were inactive, even though they had maybe low BMI, body mass index, they were twice as likely. And we're talking about ones just over the age of 40. We're not talking about old people here. We're talking about people just over the age of 40. twice as likely to die. This study covered many, many years, many participants, many years. I don't know what the percentage of people that died during the study, but when we're saying twice as likely, maybe 5% of the people who were active died, maybe 10% of the people who were inactive died. So that's give you a ballpark idea or an approximation of what was going on here. So this is some serious stuff. The people were, you know, we're talking about death through inactivity. All right. That is an alarming statistic. Alarming.
Alarming means the bell goes off. It is really scary. You should be aware of it. And it's brought to your attention. Yeah. This is alarming. You need to know about this.
Yeah, it's an emergency situation. The next one, a change in focus. And we'll have Marlena read that.
While maintaining a normal weight and exercising are both important, physicians and public health officials may do more to improve the nation's health by recommending that their sedentary patients get up and get moving, said study leader Steve Moore.
Okay, so need to change our focus. Emphasize exercise more so than the weight loss. Okay, let's do this. Let's have our final reading of this article.
The weight of the matter. The latest study adds to mounting evidence that a sedentary lifestyle may trump obesity as a corrosive influence on health. In recent years, researchers have found that exercise, even when not accompanied by weight loss, powerfully affects a range of risk factors for cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. We have to get people to understand that it's not all about weight, said Dr. Robert Salas, a sports medicine specialist who has spearheaded the Exercise is Medicine initiative under the auspices of the American College of Sports Medicine. Not everyone can lose weight, but everyone can get fit. Stephen Moore, an epidemiologist at the National Cancer Institute, notes, "You can't lose 30 pounds tomorrow, but you can start exercising."
Okay, this section is titled The Weight of the Matter, or when we say that, the weight of the matter, it means the importance of something. And what does this latest study add, Lois?
It all adds that there's mounting evidence that a sedentary lifestyle may trump obesity as a corrosive influence on health.
Okay. Now, first, let's cover the vocabulary, then we'll cover the meaning of the sentence. Mounting means it's adding up, it's increasing the evidence that a sedentary lifestyle may trump. What do we mean by trump?
By trump, we mean that it's going to go beyond, it's going to have more importance, it's going to have more power.
Okay. Then obesity as a corrosive influence. Corrosive.
Corrosive, meaning destructive or harmful, usually over a long period of time.
And that means?
This sentence is saying that there's a growing amount of evidence that a sedentary lifestyle is having more damaging effects on health than even just being obese.
This goes really against what a lot of people really understand, right?
Oh, definitely, because I think some people think, I just have to remain thin, I just have to eat the right things, but I don't really have to do anything.
Yeah, the thinking has been, if I'm thin, I'm okay.
Yeah. That's right.
But this study is saying not necessarily. It's the opposite. You can actually be overweight, but as long as you're exercising, you'll be better off. In recent years, researchers have found that exercise, even when not accompanied by weight loss, so if you're exercising but you're still staying at that same weight, what does it do, Kylie?
It powerfully affects a range of risk factors for cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes.
Okay. So the impact is on your heart here,
yeah,
and your circulation, which affects not only, you know, having heart attacks, but also type 2 diabetes. And we'll find out more about this as we go on. In fact, the next paragraph, we start out with a quote from Dr. Robert Salas. What does Dr. Salas say in the beginning here, Kristen?
Dr. Salas says, "We have to get people to understand that it's not all about weight."
Okay. That's what he's saying. It's not all about weight. We're too focused on losing weight, losing pounds. And Dr. Robert Salas, what is his position?
He's a sports medicine specialist who has spearheaded, which means led, the Exercise in Medicine initiative.
Okay. under the auspices of the American College of Sports Medicine. Now, what do I mean under the auspices?
You mean, Bill, this is an idiom. It says, with the protection or support of someone or something, especially an organization.
Okay, that's who he's working for, leading this project, spearheading, as Marlena had said. And he finishes this paragraph up with a quote.
It says, not everyone can lose weight, but everyone can get fit.
I find that true, right? Not everybody can lose weight. We're all different. Mm-hmm. Some people go on diets and they lose weight immediately. Other people go on diets and don't lose anything. And why is that?
Some of them go on diets, like we mentioned earlier, and don't get active with the diet. I think it's a combined thing, Bill. I really do, especially the older you get.
Activity is one thing. Anything else?
I think that a lot of it has to do with lifestyle change. People don't want to change their lifestyle. They want to be able to eat what they want and then maybe work out a little bit and it'll all be okay. And they focus more on results than on how they're feeling and what's really going on inside their body.
I think a lot of it has to do with we all have our own individual metabolism, how we burn calories. Some people can eat anything and stay the same weight. Other people can like look at a donut and gain weight.
So it seems that way.
Don't look at others and judge yourself by them, what they lose or gain. So, because we're all different. Our bodies process it all differently.
Right. And, Bill, I'd like, you know, people to remember, especially females, we're different body types, too. That's really important to remember.
That's right. Different types, different sizes. So, in the last paragraph, we hear from Stephen Moore, an epidemiologist at the National Cancer Institute. What is an epidemiologist?
An epidemiologist is someone who studies diseases, and they study the process of diseases.
Okay, and what does he say?
Stephen Moore says you can't lose 30 pounds tomorrow, but you can start exercising.
We talked about losing weight, I think, way back in January. People were setting New Year's resolutions, and one of the big things is everybody has New Year's resolutions for losing weight. And we, of course, everybody would like the weight off immediately. Impossible. And usually what happens, we get frustrated when it doesn't happen immediately. So, but you can start exercising, and I highly recommend that everybody do that today. Get out at lunchtime. Go for a walk for 15 minutes at lunchtime. Not only will it help your health, but you'll actually feel better at work by doing that. You'll be surprised how much better you feel in the afternoon. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for this great fitness article, Weight Loss Out, Fitness In. Come on back next time. Until then, this is Bill,
Marlena,
Kristen,
Kylie, and Lois
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.